Bindi Teja is a professional life and divorce coach, TEDx speaker, author, and winner of the Independent Press Award, Canada Book Award, New York City Big Book Award, and finalist of the Canadian Book Club Awards for her bestseller, YOLO, Essential Life Hacks for Happiness. She says words are a powerful tool, and we need to use them for good, especially when someone you know is going through a divorce. Bindi, welcome.
Thanks, Melissa. Thanks for having me.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. I want to jump right in. Is there still a stigma or perception on how we as a society view divorce and how we can shift people away from seeing divorce as something negative?
That's a great question. I think when you compare it to the way it was a long time ago, we've obviously come a long way. Back then, divorce was very uncommon, almost unheard of. And the culture, morality, law, and economic system simply didn't support divorces. And even if we knew a couple had marital difficulties, they still didn't get divorced because there was such immense family and community pressure to stay together. And nowadays, divorce is a reality, and we all know it's not uncommon. We're not ignorant of it. And we all know someone in our family or friend circle or professional circle who's been affected by it. It's not like we plan for it or wish for it to happen, but we recognize it's a reality. So I think because of the changes in law and education and culture, it's easier and more acceptable to divorce, and there's less tolerance of dangerous and dysfunctional situations such as violence and abuse and that sort of thing. But I don't think that means we don't see divorced men and women differently from married couples, as well as seeing divorced men differently than divorced women. And I think it's affected by a number of factors, one of which is how close we are with a divorced person. If we're close to them, we may have more empathy and compassion, regardless of whether it's a man or a woman. We may also have more knowledge of the circumstances. But when we don't know people, we often don't extend the same empathy or understanding to them. And that's when I think we revert back to what we know or what we unconsciously believe or what we've been taught in our families of origin or in our culture or in our religion, you know, even our own experience of divorce and our own prejudices and biases.
Yeah, I am so glad you brought that up because it is so true. When we know somebody, such as a friend or a family member who's going through a divorce, we extend a lot of compassion, a lot of love. But if it's somebody we know on the surface, maybe just somebody from your town, you know, the way we react to it is very different. And you and I have talked about this a lot. This needs to change. Why should it, and how can it really help somebody survive and thrive when they're going through such a difficult time?
Great question. I definitely think it needs to change for many reasons, including the impact, both conscious and unconscious, it has on the people going through the process and their loved ones, especially their kids. And you know, lack of compassion and love and the understanding and the help that goes along with it is, it's, I mean, those things are all crucial for all of us, but for people going through serious transitions like death or divorce and other loss, it's huge. And it actually helps determine how those people cope with divorce and how they do afterwards, you know, 5 years out, 10 years out. So I definitely think it needs to change. Ostracism and unfair judgments can be very isolating, and they can lead to the isolated person suffering, you know, a lot of extra emotional, financial, and other damage, and that in turn affects the kids and how they view themselves and, you know, how they do in school and in their communities. So, you know, most of us like to think of ourselves as compassionate and fair-minded, but our biases and prejudices might be under the surface, or, you know, maybe those restrictions exist in our cultural and religious communities. But I definitely think it needs to change because it does impact the outcome.
So how can we be mindful and empathetic of what we say when it comes to somebody telling us that they're getting a divorce?
Great question. I think a lot of us find it difficult to know what to say to someone going through divorce. Sometimes you have no idea what stage of the process or grief that they might be in, or how they're feeling, how they're thinking. And, you know, you're genuinely afraid of saying the wrong thing or saying too much or saying too little. And no matter what you say, they may simply not be in a place that, you know, where they can talk about it or feel comfortable. And I think the same goes for other serious setbacks as well. But I think in most cases, a genuine offer to listen and to connect can be really powerful. And there are many ways to express this. For example, you know, simple words like, I'm not sure how you're doing or feeling. I respect your privacy. Please know I care about you and that I'm available if and when you'd like to talk. And when you do connect, I urge you to listen empathetically with sensitivity and without judgment, and commit to confidentiality. You know, breakups are hard enough on their own without the he said, she said drama that, you know, inevitably follows them. And on this note, I really wanted to say that while it's important to listen empathetically and let your friend or loved one express the emotions that naturally follow a breakup, whether it's pain or confusion or anger, it's also important to protect them from that needless drama that I was talking about. And as a friend, you might have an important watchdog function here. Because, you know, certain friends and family and colleagues, no matter how well-intentioned they might seem to be, they feed off this drama. So, you know, promise yourself not to be one of these folks.
No, that's so true. You know, you talk about some great suggestions on how we can support somebody going through a divorce, you know, being a confidant and not being judgmental. Any other tips that you can share with people so, you know, they can kind of be a rock and a support to somebody who may need it?
Absolutely. I think one of the best things someone can do is they can understand divorce context. And, you know, whether you're a close friend or a friend of the couple or further removed, you know, understanding this context really helps, because divorce can feel like a fire hose going off in all directions, and there's so much change. You know, there's legal change, financial, parenting, emotional, social. And, you know, the divorce itself could be one of many different kinds of divorces. It might be amicable or civil. It could be acrimonious or desperate or unexpected, maybe even long overdue. And there may have been emotional and financial or physical abuse. And then also to be aware that the feelings that come up of shame and sadness and denial, those sort of things are common and normal. So that's number one, is understanding the divorce context can go a long way. The second tip I would say is offer to listen, the one that we just talked about. And the third one is to support your loved one in their self-care. And, you know, the word self-care gets thrown around a lot. And while it's important for all of us to practice good self-care, it's especially important for those experiencing higher than normal levels of stress. So, you know, ask your friend if they'd like to go for a walk, or perhaps offer to babysit their children while they go for a walk or to the gym or an important appointment. So that's another tip. And then I would also say connected to this is lend a helping hand. So, you know, your friend is the one going through the divorce, not you. So you're not responsible for them, but you do want to be responsible to them. And how can you do that? And I think expressing a willingness to provide practical help can be a godsend to anyone who's navigating the divorce process. And, you know, it might just be a simple request. How can I help? It's a simple question, but it can give you a lot of information. And if they're feeling so overwhelmed, they might not even be able to answer that question, in which case it might be a good idea to be more specific. You know, would it help if I took the kids to the park, or send over some meals, or mow your lawn, or, you know, come over on Thursday night? And so that's another tip. And then the last one I would say is providing information and referrals can also be a godsend. And in my work with divorce coaching clients, I often help them figure out who's already or needs to be on their personal board of directors. And, you know, this refers to their support network, which is a vital part of their divorce journey and recovery. So if you're able to provide credible information and qualified referrals, you could save your friend a ton of time and stress and money. Those would be my top tips.
Quickly, because we're running out of time. You honed on a very important word, support, and that's what people need when they're going through divorce. And people who go through divorce come from all sort of different ethical backgrounds, faiths, and cultures. How can a divorce coach, someone like yourself, help somebody who fears their religion, their faith, or their family will frown upon the news they're getting a divorce?
Yes, that's an important question, because I think the struggle is real for people. They may fear isolation from their faith institutions or being cut off from their family and friends or restricted from access to childcare or financial help. So those struggles are real, and I think the role of a divorce coach really as a detached thinking and soundboarding partner is particularly vital in such cases. And so too is the creativity and resourcefulness that they bring in developing solutions for their clients' immediate needs, which may change from week to week and month to month. And so giving the client room to express their concerns and develop options and effective action is really critical for them to move through the process in a way that, is productive and leads them forward, not backwards.
Yeah, and that's how we all want people to be, is moving forward. And for those who want to move forward and continue the conversation, Bindi, how do they get in touch with you?
Absolutely. The best way, Alyssa, is through my website. It's www.binditija.com, and they can find all my social media handles and links to my books there.
And pick up that book, YOLO, Essential Life Hacks for Happiness. It's a bestseller. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Contemplating going through or emerging from a divorce? Feeling confused or overwhelmed? Need support? A divorce coach can help. Vindi Teja is no stranger to hacking her way back to happiness after divorce. She's a professional life and divorce coach, a proud single parent, a TEDx speaker, the author of YOLO, Essential Life Hacks for Happiness, and a graduate of UBC and Western Law School. Vindi's passion is helping people decrease their divorce stress and create happy and healthy futures for themselves and their kids. She helps you have clarity about what life looks like now, confidence in the changing roles, and security in knowing it's all going to be okay. Whether it's help with should I or shouldn't I divorce, the business of divorce, or next steps, Vindi is committed to using her background, including her own experience of divorce and parenting, to assist her clients. To learn more, go to her website, VindiTeja.com. That's VindiTeja.com, or her Instagram at Vinti11.